You know, everybody knows that we need to market, we need to sell, and eventually as you grow, you need marketing teams, you need sales teams, but what should they be doing and how should they be interacting and which data points should they be going after and how can we make sure that those marketing and sales teams are aligned? Well, those are lots of good questions that many companies haven't solved. Fortunately, I had Stefan Hedderbrand on the show. He's from Dream Data, one of the co-founders, and he was able to share everything that they're doing to help companies align marketing and sales and get everybody thinking about the right data points. And he shared how they've been able to grow themselves, getting their company to be quite successful. This is going to help you if you really want to kind of get a startup off the ground, start generating some marketing, start generating some sales, and make sure that it's built to last for the future. You're going to like this one.
Welcome to Sastery in the Making, the podcast that features the people who made the software world what it is today and the leaders who are shaping the future of technology. Here's your host, Matt Wallach.
Yes, welcome to Sastery in the Making. I am your host, Matt Wallach, and I am delighted to have you here. Thank you for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We've got a really fun show today, and I'd like to introduce you to Stefan Hedderbrand. Stefan, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Ready to talk all things SaaS here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we started recording, Stefan and I kind of bonded. We super love growth. We love SaaS. We love all that fun stuff. So I really am looking forward to this conversation, sharing some cool things that they're doing with you and a lot of his knowledge so you guys can grow. Let me tell you a little bit about Stefan. He is the co-founder and CRO at dreamdata.io. And he has an exceptional growth mindset. He's data-driven by heart and loves all parts of scaling the commercial side of a business. Stefan's a notorious growth hacker, and with his successful track record of scaling businesses and building teams at Upwork and Airtime, he really knows the pain points of rapidly scaling marketing and growth firsthand. You know, Dream Data is a great system. It gathers, joins, and cleans all revenue-related data to present transparent, actionable analysis of what drives B2B revenue. So I know for a lot of you out there as B2B SaaS leaders, you're going to really enjoy this episode. Stefan, once again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for that impressive presentation, Matt.
I try. But tell me, what's going on with you lately and what's coming up?
So yeah, maybe the first update here is I've just recently transitioned to a more pure CMO role now, stepping out of the CRO role. So at Dream Data, we've been, we're at, 27 full-time people now. And I let the sales from when we're doing, create a slide deck and just saying you have a product until now, but I'm a marketing leader by background. And, you know, as you hire full-time AEs, you find out that, whoa, this leading salespeople is actually a real craft, and it's there's a lot of things you cannot catch up to fast enough to be, you know, to keep up with the growth of what we do. So I've transitioned now to focus more on everything from, like, before you've heard about us until you become MQL, as a marketing qualified lead, as we call it at Dream Data.
Very cool. Well, that's exciting for that new role, but I want to go back further. So what led you to start dreamdata.io? Where'd that come from?
So that's kind of the founder story is kind of twofold. My story is from the marketing leader background of, like, scaling a business from 20 to 100 employees and from zero in ad spend to 100,000 euros per month in ad spend. And in B2B, as you put in the first money in growth and advertising, you have a good idea about what's going on. But the last 10,000 euros you push in every month, you're like, I have no clue what this is, what the outcome of this. And that was a true pain I felt at my old company, Airtime, where we were selling to schools and businesses. And even though I would know that the sales cycle would be 3, 6, 12 months, and like the buying cycle was July and December, I was still trying to judge the ad spend in the month where I made the ad spend, which was, you know, stupid, if not suboptimal. But that was kind of what I was trying to do. And as I kind of approached my end of my tenure at my last company, I actually got introduced to my now two co-founders, who had actually been tackling this problem at a review platform called Trustpilot, where they were leading product and engineering. And at Trustpilot, the kind of the saying went that it was the salespeople that were the heroes because they were the ones creating the revenue. But what they actually proved, my two co-founders, was that, you know, the product was signing up 5,000 accounts per month and it was valued at zero. So what they started to do was to connect the dots from when an account registered at Trustpilot, what happened to it afterwards and when did they sell to them? Was there a particular channel that was better or worse for the sign up? What could predict churn, et cetera? And it's actually still that core technology that we nowadays are went on to co-found Green later on. So from the get-go, we've kind of been at least a picture-perfect co-founder team because I come from this marketing and growth space, and they're like product and engineering people. And
perfect.
We've used those skills to sort of build Dreamlitter to where it is today.
That's fantastic. So I know that you really care about data. It's in the name, but why is data so important in marketing and sales?
So I would almost say that data is even more important in marketing than it is in sales, because the impact of sales is more apparent. I had this meeting, we signed the deal a little bit later. But what you see in B2B, and we can see that across our thousands of accounts, is that the journey is easily 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. And the marketing touches tend to be the first touches on that journey. So when a crisis hits, what is the spend that you're stopping the fastest? Who are the people you fire the first? If marketing doesn't have a proof from all of all those journeys that they actually start, they are the ones that are getting laid off the fastest, because you know you can just stop the bleed by stopping your marketing spend. But what you don't realize is that you might be shooting yourself in the foot by like stopping a lot of activities that are actually providing those leads that your salespeople work with. So I think just by the nature of it, marketing needs data a bit more than the salespeople do. Obviously, the salespeople needs hardcore performance, because if they're not selling, they're going to get fired. But when they do sell, then it's a little bit more apparent what their contribution is. Does that make sense, that kind of thinking about it?
It does. Yeah, it's a bit more obvious for a salesperson. You can see closed deals or not closed deals. It's pretty straightforward. Yeah. So I totally get it. And marketing's got all kinds of different numbers and metrics. And I would agree, it's really, really critical. But you know, speaking of marketing and sales, it seems like those two teams within companies are constantly battling each other. And I've been in SaaS a long time, and marketing and sales are always kind of fighting with each other. Why do you feel like marketing and sales teams fight so much?
So you can say at Dreamlitter it hasn't been an issue, but if like fundamentally those two departments are super depending on each other. If marketing want to see high return on ad spend, they're depending on the salespeople actually closing the deals. And how do you make salespeople close a lot of deals? Well, you don't do it by like just feeding in thousands of crappy emails that are like non-ICP, non-relevant at all. So there needs to be this kind of alignment or sync between marketing and sales. What is a good lead? How does that account look like? Who should we try to be attracting? And I think where it goes wrong is that people spend drinking too few beers together, like trying to understand each other's world. For me, I've always been in marketing to produce revenue. So I don't come from that kind of segregated way of thinking about it. But other people do come from more this, you know, creative branding, positioning, marketing kind of style. That really kind of, yeah, we're creating demand that you can kind of convert 4 years from now or something like that, where I've always been wired more to, I need to do stuff where I can prove that it's valuable for the business. But I would advise any sales marketing team to spend more time with each other to try to understand, why are you doing the things that you're doing and what are the things that we need from you? You know, it goes the other way around. So it's not just marketing, it's also sales that needs to go into marketing and say, this is how our ICP looks like. I convert these guys faster. My slide deck is looking ugly. Can you help me out? I get these five FAQs all the time, but we don't have any resources about it at all. So you know, you can do so much just by speaking with each other. And this is easily one of my favorite speaking topics. So I can go on with this, Matt.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's something that I'm very passionate about too, because I hate when teams fight internally, and it seems like it happens often. I'm glad it's not happening there at Dream Data, but you know, it's something where the salespeople think that the marketing people didn't get them good enough leads or enough leads overall. Yeah. The marketing people think, hey, we're driving these leads and you're not closing them. And so you start to have some of this infighting, which isn't good. And I've always thought, hey, why don't we get people communicating? I love that you just said that. We're totally aligned there. We're on the same page. Get them talking. And you said something beautifully there that not a lot of people think about. If salespeople are having success with a certain segment of your market or a certain type of customer, then they should absolutely be telling marketing, these are our best fits. These are the ones who love it, who are going to get in there and get great value out of the product. We close them quickly. They should be giving that feedback to marketing so marketing can get out there and start targeting those prospects, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the exercises that we've benefited the most from was to like be really deliberate about defining an ideal customer profile. Because once that work is done, all the other activities you do adjust accordingly, like which accounts do you assign to your salespeople? Where do you go on the internet or wherever to attract this kind of ideal customer profile? So don't be afraid to kind of try to not sell to everybody. Like, I really think strongly define what an ideal customer looks like. And if people are behaving outside of, or like doing stuff that is outside that ideal customer profile, you need to, you know, ask them, why are you doing this? It doesn't fit our ICP. They're not going to love our product. They're not going to renew the contract, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's very, very true. I completely agree. I'm glad that that's happening. So if we're in my experience, I have seen the best teams get marketing and sales both aligned towards aiming for revenue. Because if you try and incentivize marketing and say, hey, we want you to generate a bunch of leads, well, sometimes that can go bad. They might generate a bunch of leads, but they're not the right leads, like we just talked about. But they said, hey, you told me to generate a bunch of leads. But when you get both the teams aligned towards revenue and get them thinking, hey, how are we going to drive the best, most revenue? That's when you can get them working together, get them communicating, like you said. But we want to make sure that the buyer journey lines up with that. So how are you seeing and how are you advising and how are you guys doing it? How can companies map their buyer journey towards revenue?
Yeah. So Dream Data is essentially a go-to-market data platform. And what that means is that in our data warehouse, you basically connect any source that touches your accounts, and then we'll map every touch into the timeline of each of your accounts. So if Matt does something and Stefan does something and we're part of the same account, that just gets mapped into the same timeline. And by connecting to your CRM, we also know the pipeline stages you have. So we help our customers very deliberately understand how long is the journey, how long does it take from each stage, how many go from each stage to the next stage. So like I can tell you straight away that out of our marketing qualified leads, 50% of them are sales acceptable. Out of those who are sales acceptable, 20% actually go into the sales pipeline, and out of the sales pipeline, we convert 1 out of 3. And this is kind of the sort of these things that we help our customers understand. And that also means by knowing these metrics this well, that we can kind of reverse engineer the revenue. You know, to hit 100 deals, we need to put 300 deals into the sales pipeline. And to put 300 deals into the sales pipeline, we need to 5x those amounts of sales acceptable leads. And then, you know, then you reverse engineer back. That was a long rant. But then essentially, then you also understand when you know your number to hit, you also know you don't want to put numbers quality in that is lower than your usual quality, because then it's going to convert worse all the way through the pipeline. So I think to me, it's about, you know, high transparency into what is quality, and then try to repeat what is quality. Does that make sense, man?
Yeah, I think it really does. I think getting the quality and making sure that you can continue to drive those same level of leads is absolutely critical. Yeah. And I like that we talked about how sales should be telling marketing, hey, these are some of the best ones. But should it also go the other way? How can salespeople benefit from revenue attribution and knowing where things came from?
Yeah, and I think this is a really good point. We actually also, like, normally we sell to marketing, but when once it's up and running, we go and sell to the salespeople as well, because we do have every touch of every account. So you'll get out of that kind of completely blindfolded demo where you just sit down, hey, welcome to this demo, and then you start typing in their LinkedIn, who are you? Actually show you, this is all the content that has been consumed, and these are the people involved in the journey. So if you'd set yourself just 5 minutes aside, then you'll be able to understand what have they actually been interested in before hitting this demo. And then you'd know much more about what are the right things to talk about today. Another, in terms of outreach, we've also seen very big success in helping people understand who are the accounts to reach out to and with what messaging, because if they've been silent for a while, they can go in and check what have they been doing lately in any tool, whether that's CS, automation, CRM, and so forth. So there's kind of these two components, understanding the journey up to this meeting, and then there's also the outreach of, you know, trying to push people down through the pipeline.
That's beautiful. I've always been a big believer of really understanding your prospect and really knowing them. If you can see what they've been doing and what's been happening, that makes it all the easier to be able to understand how you can best sell to them. And one of the key facets in one of my most important processes, the perfect deal process, is associate. You need to associate your product, your solution, to their needs and their goals. And if you can do that really well, then they're going to love you. They're going to see that your solution is the answer. But you can't associate if you don't know them, if you don't know their needs and their goals, desires, what they're looking for. And I love that you can get that information from their experience, their history, and what they've been doing within your system and elsewhere.
Yeah, that's super valuable.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, absolutely. So you guys have done a good job growing. What are some of the biggest mistakes software leaders are making currently within their sales and marketing processes?
That's a very broad stroke. but I would say, to me, being like a marketing fanatic by background, it would be to point a finger at those who believe that you essentially do B2C and B2B marketing the same way, because it's just two incredibly different worlds. B2C is about the individual, and B2B is about the account. And an account often is, you know, consisting of 5 to 6 to 7 people, and it takes 6 months, 12 months, etc. And this essentially breaks every single tool that marketers have that are, you know, working in B2C scenarios, the Google Analytics, the Facebook ads, the LinkedIn ads, the Google ads, etc. All of this is wired to understand the behavior of an individual and not an account. So that means that you get all the growth activities wrong, essentially, because you don't understand how long is the journey. These people are actually part of the same journey. You risk shutting down stuff that is actually working. You risk growing a lot slower than you could be if, you know, typically we'd see that the difference between paid contribution to starting journeys is 5x in a first touch perspective versus a last touch perspective. So if you're running this single touch, last touch lead based model, you could actually be investing 5x amount of money into your growth activities. And doing so in a profitable way, then you would grow a lot faster. So I think the overall line is just respecting when you do growth in B2B that it's something completely different than B2C. And you need to understand that all the tools out there today is horrible at actually documenting this.
Yeah, I would agree. I love that. It is a completely different deal to go B2B from B2C. And for you guys have done a good job of getting your product rocking and really doing a great job of scaling it and growing. And you mentioned your team is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
What would you say, Stefan, are some of the most important things you did along the way that helped you get to where you are?
So there's kind of a it's kind of, I don't know, there's some tangible stuff, and then there's kind of the mindset. If we start with the mindset, I think this thing about rapid experimentation, try small stuff out constantly, and do not put all your eggs in one basket. But as soon as you do find something that works, then you double, triple, or quadruple the investment. But this thing about, and you know, also just don't spend too much time planning, at least when you're like in a startup scale-up phase, because the world changes so fast. You know that from all the advisory you do, like 6 months ahead, it can be a completely different ballgame. Something changes, and then the plan you spend a quarter making is just not working. So this kind of rapid experimentation, trying things out fast, and when you then do have proof, then you can invest a lot of money into it. But don't spend all your time planning. It's much better just to try try stuff out. Then, from a sales and go-to-market perspective, we last year in the spring we introduced a free tier, a free trial tier, as opposed to only having that traditional route of book a demo and then go into a sales process. And then that's kind of been a complete game changer for us, because we went from trust us, it works, to hey, get a proof of concept and then let's talk sales afterwards. So I think that's the most tangible component that made the difference for us as a SaaS.
So that worked well. You introduced the free trial and you got more people in, and then you're able to sell and close a lot of them?
Yeah, totally. The whole conversation goes from, you know, here's a slideshow and then try to convince them with sales. Now, I think the difference is we get 2/3 of free sign-up as opposed to 1/3 doing demo calls. So I think nowadays people do prefer not to talk to sales before they're really convinced that the product works. So now
they
we
need
get
to be further down they need to be further down their interest pipeline.
You know, it's just an opinion, but I noted that from myself that if I want to try a product, I want to try the product. I don't want to, you know, be it to be fenced behind a salesperson before I at least have some proof this product looks right for me. So that one thing has really led our company to like accelerate crazy.
That's awesome. Well, this has been great. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing everything, Stefan. It's been awesome hearing about how you guys at Dream Data are doing it and how you're scaling and helping others do the same. How can our audience learn more about what you're doing in Dream Data?
So I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, so they can just search me out there. And if they have a follow-up question, they can just shoot it. And then, yeah, dreamdata.io is our website. And if you go there, I'll do whatever I can to retarget you as you go across the internet.
Good, you should. I hope everybody else out there does that, because it's really important to do it. But Stefan, this has been awesome. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for the invite, Matt. We could go on for many more hours, but let's call it today.
I certainly know that we can, that's for sure. But really appreciate you coming on and sharing everything. And I appreciate you guys here listening and watching. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Make sure you're subscribed to the show. I want you to not miss out on anything else that's coming up. A lot more great people like Stefan are coming on the show. I want to make sure you're getting everything you need so you can apply it to your business and really scale yourself. So thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Take care.